So as I was explaining in our pre-Squirrel Report recording chat, I'm toying with the idea of getting rid of the beard.
What? No.
I knew Brita would be disappointed.
Brita decrees it must be so. Well, see, as I was explaining to Alan, the main reason I grew the beard is I hate shaving and I'm lazy. And if I have a beard, I don't have to shave. So you see how this works out. And like the original plan was to do the shaved head with a beard, you know, kind of the, who is that? Was it Shaq who does that? But, the problem I ran into is I couldn't get it even. And because I have OCD, it started getting further and further down my head until finally I was like, nuts to this, goatee it is. Boom. And the goatee worked great for a few months. And then it started getting long and scraggly. And then it necessitated taking care of it, like combing it. And then it grew a little bit longer and I had to brush it. I'm going to brush it like every day, several times.
Oh, no, you had to brush it every day.
And I'm like, you know what? This defeats the purpose of being lazy and not having to do things. So I think it's going to get a trim, regardless.
Okay. A trim, I can.
All right.
Okay.
Brita will allow a trim.
I will allow it.
That's what we were discussing earlier. I asked him if he was going to go for like the evil Spock beard. You know, like, still a beard, but not epic beard, just evil Spock beard.
More Maynard G. Krebs. Kids, ask your parents.
Oh, like a chin fringe kind of thing.
No, I just wanted to throw out the random Maynard G. Krebs.
Maynard G. Krebs is. So.
I think it's basically you and I, Alan.
Oh, Gilligan before he was Gilligan.
Yes, exactly. Oh.
Who was the Surgeon General with the neck beard?
That was Sievert Koop.
Yeah.
It was the Amish like beard, or if you will, the Abe Lincoln.
Right, the Abe Lincoln.
Which I will not do because I will always have at least a mustache because I hate shaving under my giant nose. Do it. I will pull on my lip and I just can't get everything, and then I cut the living crap out of it.
Or you could just do what I do and embrace the 5 o'clock shadow look and just use it like an electric razor every other day or so. And
if I use an electric razor, I have to shave like 2 to 3 times a day.
Yeah, wow.
If I went 2 days and tried to use an electric, it would stick to my face. It would just, oh, crap. Wow.
Grind away.
Use the Black & Decker weed eater.
Yeah, pretty much. It's what I get for, I could not grow facial hair until I was well into my 20s.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for mine to come in.
I tried for a year and a half to grow a mustache in college. And at the end of a year and a half, it looked like maybe I'd eaten a really messy chocolate brownie.
So really, you just had to wait for the hair to migrate off your head down into your
face. Yeah. Pretty much. Once it fell off my head, it was like, oh shit, we got to put this somewhere. Now I'm at the point where I'm like, I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh crap, I got to shave my ears again. And I'm like,
ears? Oh, what is that about?
Yeah.
Like literally, what is that about?
I don't know. I like, why is there hair coming out of the tops of my ears? What the?
I'm like the world's biggest hobbit.
Yeah.
Oh, inside. Yeah. Yeah, it's like on the sides and the top, and every time I try to shave, it's like I cut myself in the weirdest places. I'm like, oh.
How do you deal with the ear hair?
Careful.
You pluck it? Pluck it?
The inside is basically really sharp scissors, like barber scissors, and a lot of patience.
I use the beard trimmer on the razor. That seems to get it fairly well.
Yeah, somewhere I have.
Every once in a while, I'll be at the barber shop and the guy will go, you want me to take care of those ears while I'm at it?
What?
Wow.
Do they do your eyebrows too?
They will, yeah. If you get
perhaps
if you show up with the bushy eyebrows, they'll ask if you want your eyebrows.
Wow. Yeah.
Huh.
You have to understand, I have not been to a barber shop since 1996.
Yeah, the one I go to is an actual barber shop. It's not
nice. Is there a real pole out front?
There is a real pole, and it's been.
I've been there. I was there last week with Alan.
And you walk in, and the guy's been there. He's been the barber in the shop for like 30 years, and
he's got a handlebar mustache.
He's got a wax handlebar mustache. So.
Nice. He does.
Nice.
It's awesome.
And there's signs all around, like the gun signs, like I can't think of one verbatim.
Barber in Texas is pro gun. Who?
Oh, totally pro gun.
Coming.
Yeah, they say there's like I think there's a sign that says, you know, conceal carry, welcome. We all do.
they're
all carrying concealed. So it's a great place.
That's what you expect when you hear Texas. You know, these armed barbers. It's just, you know, it's like the Texas way.
Yep.
In Texas, even the barbers, even the hair care professionals are armed in Texas.
I imagine a lot of them are. I don't know. They have, it's
the
really...
World Star Hip-Hop videos I've seen are any indication. The barbershop is one of the most dangerous places you can go.
Yes.
So. That's where fights always seem to break out. I don't understand it. Like I said, I haven't been to a barbershop in 22 years.
It is hard to find a good barbershop these days. I remember when I was a little kid, my grandfather, every time I'd go to my grandfather to visit, he'd be like, all right, let's go to the barbershop, kid. Because, you know, he always thought my hair was too long. which is funny because he'd probably think it was too short now. But... you know, it's back then it was all the barbershops were the same. It's like the classic barbershop. And now
they were all staffed by a guy named Gino.
Yeah. And now you can't, now it's like you have to go out of your way to find a barbershop because they're, it's like, you know, everything wants to be there, like hair salons and.
They have those man salons though. We have one.
Those are even
we have
worse.
One near us and it's called Lady James. So I don't know, Lady Jane, something for men, and you know, nope.
They put glitter in your beard.
I'm not even sure what happens in there, but they have like, you know, the sports bar kind of vibe in there, and then I'm just assuming women with big boobs, you know, because they're cutting your hair and they lean, you know, the boobs. Anyway, well, Alan's a. Salon. Alan's barbershop is really cool. And it's very, very old school. And the thing I noticed, another thing, there's a boy that works there that shines shoes at the barbershop, right, Alan?
Yep. On weekends.
He will shine your shoes on weekends. But the thing I noticed, and I haven't been to many barbershops in my life, but I mentioned this to Alan after we left. I said, I noticed that. You know, when you get your hair cut, you get the little pieces of hair all over you and they're on your clothes and stuck on your face and, you know, whatever. And at this barber shop, they had like air pressure hose and they would hose you off with the air and blow all the hair off.
There.
And I thought, oh my God, this is genius.
It's the inverse of the Flowbee.
Right. And they blow the hair off and you're all clean and good to go. You don't have little bits of hair all over you. And I said, women's salons do not have that. When you go to a woman's salon and you get your hair cut, they have like this little brush and they brush the hair off you, you know, delicately brush, brush, brush. And inevitably you leave the salon and you're like, you know, you got hair like in your mouth and in your ears and down your shirt and in your bra. And you're like, I got to go home and take a shower, even though that you've just been to the salon and they've done your hair for you. But you have so much hair, like, stuck to your face and just everywhere that, you know, you have to go home and take a shower and redo your hair after you've just paid somebody else to do it. But I'm thinking if all women's salons, like, work in this kind of air pressure hose to blow the hair off. But it was such a dude thing. I was like, you know, dudes are always, like, hacking stuff. You know, like, how do we make this better? And, like, how, you know, what's the best idea for getting the hair off? You know, air pressure hose thing.
Yeah.
It'll never take off in women's salons. Never.
It should, though. It's really.
It's genius.
It's actually pretty common in barbershops. I don't think I've been to one that didn't have something like that. Or something similar. Of course, yeah, you're right. The hair salons do not.
No, there's like a little brush. I'm looking at the Facebook page for your barbershop, Alan, and you forgot to mention that your barber does rodeo also.
Oh, yeah.
There's a picture of Larry, your barber. He's healing a steer. Like, he's doing the steer roping, the two-guy steer roping in a rodeo. So, yeah, total Texas. Really cool.
Yeah, he actually, I think he raises cows. He has a farm or ranch or something like that somewhere. Yep. Yeah, it's great.
So anyway, I got back to Ohio yesterday last night, and it was like time travel, really, because I was in Texas and it was springtime and it was beautiful and the sun was shining and flowers blooming and wonderful. And, you know, granted, the pollen was kind of problematic, but I come home and it's snowing. It was snowing today. I'm just like, what is going on? And my sinuses are wrecked.
Because they don't know what to do.
No.
They started gearing up for springtime and pollen and all that fun stuff. And now all of a sudden it's like, ha ha, now it's dry again.
Ooh. Yeah, so.
Yet another reason why time travel would never work in practicality.
Because of all the mold spores and pollen.
All the pollen and all the crap you're exposed to and everything. You'd spend a week trying to get acclimated, and then you just be zapped someplace else and be like, oh. You can play spot the time traveler. The people walking around all zombified come from the pollen. The weirdness. But, yeah, we did.
What did we do
last show? We had just done the rodeo.
Yep.
And then I can't even remember what we did.
That was a memorable trip. We did like touristy stuff. Alan was nice enough to drive me around, and we went to like the Botanical Garden and the Natural History Museum.
Oh yeah,
and
it's been like 6 months. I haven't gotten a new truck yet.
Not yet. He has not got a new truck.
I have one I like. I don't need a new one.
Although I did bet him. I said, I will give you $100 if you keep this truck 10 years.
He can't keep
and I think I'm going to win that bet. No, he just, right?
I had a truck for 14 years.
I'm not imagining that. And then you got another truck, and then you got another truck right away. So
I had the other one for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
But
again, not 10 years.
But there were issues with that one, and this one was better.
Okay.
And I was pointing out that I was looking, what brought this up is they had the, they had the typical, truck display at the rodeo, and I was looking at the new Ford F-150s, and I said, "Oh, it looks exactly like mine." So,
yeah, but maybe next year.
No reason to upgrade. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what they could do for a truck that would make me sell, mine and get a new one. And I don't know.
Wait till they come Bronco. That's going to be it. You're going to get your OJ on and get a white
small. It's a small. it's going to be like.
I'm glad you got that, Brita.
It's going to be like on the Ranger chassis.
Alan, I drive a Toyota RAV4. I have the smallest vehicle of anyone here.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's true.
It amuses me.
did see smart cars in Texas.
Yeah, really? They were in the bed of F-150s.
You know what?
People picking them up and carrying them off.
They just look so weird, and especially like on the freeway in Houston, I'm like, you are just I don't know if you're really brave or really stupid, but
or wow.
You know, I saw in the news today, speaking of traffic, that they have done studies and they found that stressful commutes are more toxic to the body than PTSD.
I believe that.
I believe it too.
Believe that. I live it.
What do you think? I mean, you have a stressful commute. I do not have a stressful commute to work. I've got like, you know, 15 minutes. And if I run into two people on the road, you know.
But, yeah, it expects to be those two people.
Yeah. But, Jay, like, you have a really bad commute, don't you?
It's the DC metro area is consistently ranked like top three worst. If it's not the worst, it's the second worst or third worst. LA is typically
right,
you know, in contention. And I think New York City comes in, you know, the trinity, if you will. Now I cut off long before I get to DC. So mine's not nowhere near as bad as it could be. Mm-hmm. But I live 19 miles from work and okay. Work is 1 mile off the highway, and I'm about 3 miles from the highway. So
okay.
15 out of those 19 miles are on the highway. On a good day, like a Friday morning in the summer, I can make it to work in 22 minutes.
Hey.
Because I get on the highway, and you know it takes me not even 10 minutes to get on the highway, and then boom, 15 minutes, and then I, another 5 minutes to get from the highway to work. It's just that is the, one time out of the other nine where I can actually go at the speed limit. It has taken me an hour and 40 minutes to make that trip. Just
what are the factors that make it like that long? Snow or weather?
Weather.
Other people.
Nope. Yeah, other humans. Basically, there's pretty much at least 2 to 3 times a week there's a wreck because people are idiots and insist on, answering texts when they're supposed to be focusing on the road. So there's a lot of rear ends, because traffic backs up. It's DC. It's a big metro area. There's not a lot of infrastructure. There's a lot of cars trying to get in. It's traffic. And if you're not paying attention, guess what? The bumper of the guy in front of you comes up real quick and bang, and now you've got a chain reaction and, people are idiots. So they just stop and get out and kind of, pick their noses and stare at the sky and wonder, oh, what do we do now? People are trying to dive around them. Rain is always good. Rain, there's a lot of, cud chewing and staring at the sky, wondering why we've offended the great sky gods. And solar glare is another big one,
really
the highway goes east to west. So,
there's
a period in the morning in the spring when people are just like,
the sun. Yeah.
And then there's, another period at the same time in the afternoon where it's like, oh, dear God, whatever do we do? There's a bright thing. I don't know. Put on sunglasses. Flip down that funny thing right over your head. It's just funny. There's one section, you come around a corner and it's like looking right up and it just dead stop. And people are just, skylight, look. Just kind of, it's the monkey at the monolith. And it's just, you have too many people on a road that's just not built to handle it. And couple that with there's not a lot of secondary roads to help bleed off some of the traffic. And some of that, actually a good chunk of that, is because the route I take is right through like Bull Run Battlefield. I mean, it's a Civil War battlefield. It's National Historic Site. So it's not like they can just bulldoze it.
And build a marginal road.
Put in a 6-lane highway. So it's not likely to change in the foreseeable future. Now, you hit a point where it's, consistent and it's just the same every day. And it's like, all right, so I've got 45 minutes or so where it's just going to suck and I'm going to creep along. And it is what it is. So, you do tend to get kind of numb to it after a few years.
The interesting thing about this article is that everybody they talked to about this article was talking about how they were having such a stressful commute on the subway. And I'm trying to understand that. Like, you're just, other people. All you have to do is sit there. And I think you're right. I think it's the other people situation.
Yep. Like, you're also.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, it's, you're in a thing. How do I put this? You're in a situation where you don't know what other people are going to do, and you're trapped with them. And I think that's a lot of the stress that comes with traffic, is you're trying to figure out, like, what's the guy next to me going to do? And, like, you have to watch all the other people, and you know what you're doing, right? You're driving, you're doing good, but everybody else, like, what, they're the other factor.
Yep.
And even if you're just sitting on a subway, you're trapped with all these other people that are strangers, and you don't know what they're going to do. So I think that is probably the stressor. I don't know.
Hell is other people. Yeah.
Well, trust me. I was on an airplane yesterday. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, as far as
frequently, hell is other people's children. We're streaming for 2 hours straight.
Ooh, awesome.
Yeah.
See, there's also like the metro, which mm-hmm. will sometimes catch on fire.
What was the one where it was underwater?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was water on the subway. Maybe that was New York. I don't know. But there was, like, water on the tracks. Like water on the subway. Not safe, really. I've heard about the third rail.
Yeah, that doesn't... We have things here that don't react well to water, obviously. So, sorry, that was my very poor Sean Connery.
So what do you do for your 45 minutes? Do you listen to books?
I listen to music. I just, generally
scream at other people.
Well, but for the most part, my wife has the same commute. So this is when we talk.
We just
call each other and just talk to each other while we're driving. So it's kind of like it helps us both out. And eventually we're going to hit a point where we actually commute together, and then we can do things like take the HOV lane, and then life is even better. That's part of what makes it so aggravating is that the HOV lane, in my opinion, comes out too far, because there are huge sections of my morning commute where all three regular lanes are at a dead stop and there's tumbleweeds blowing through the HOV lane. It's guys,
that sucks.
Come on. Let's revisit the hours at which the HOV lane is actually HOV.
HOV lanes are one of those traffic engineering boondoggle bullshit things that they do, and they do it. HOV, and what it does is it actually makes the highway worse for everyone else.
Yep.
Half the time it's not open. You can't even use it if you wanted to. Or somebody's had a wreck on it, and it completely blocks up the thing. They have those in Houston. And they're ridiculous. And you could cram another two lanes each way in the space that the HOV lane takes up, and probably ease congestion. I don't know about DC, but in Houston, for many, many years, and it may still be the case, but for many years, the attitude of the city council in Houston was, well, people need to take public transportation, so we're not going to do anything. And as traffic gets worse, it'll force people to take public transportation. The only problem is Houston has no effective public transportation. There is one train line that goes like between downtown and the medical center place. There's a bunch of buses, but good luck getting around Houston on a bus, because you're going to spend at least 3 hours to go anywhere. And that's a minimum. I mean, it could take you literally all day to ride a bus to somewhere in Houston. The thing is completely ridiculous. So I'm, I understand, like, in the case of the highway there, where there's like a battlefield and you can't actually widen the road because, history.
Yeah. History and stuff.
But, it's at the same time, you can't keep having these giant conglomerations of people and do absolutely nothing to, you know, look at how DC's grown. And Houston has the same problem. Mm-hmm. A lot of these cities, they're growing like crazy, and they're not doing a damn thing on making it easier for people to get around and go where they want to go.
Yep.
Oh, it costs money. Well, what, you know, we've been handing you money, millions and millions and millions of dollars for all these years, and they've pissed it away on liberal bullshit, you know, crap that doesn't do anything. I mean, look at what a city does. A city's supposed to do a very few specific things. They're supposed to maintain the roads and build new ones. They're supposed to have, you know, firefighters and cops. And that's about it. That's the three things that really matter with a city. And in most cases, they suck at all of them. Ran over.
Okay.
Alan is correct. It's funny. The HOV lane, the portion of the HOV lane I deal with is wide open, which actually leads to a good chunk of the both congestion and accidents, because people get the HOV lane is the leftmost lane. And when someone merges, it's very much like snowplows in New England. They seem to think that because they qualify for the HOV lane, all of the traffic laws no longer apply to them. And they will make a perfect diagonal across three lanes of bumper to bumper traffic to get to the HOV lane. And people will drive right at you. Because I'm going to the HOV lane. You're like, there's no room for your car here, but you're coming in anyway. It's like, you know, like when I lived in Mass, and you know, like, because you had a plow on the front of your truck means you could drive on the wrong side of the road or just blow through a stop sign or.
Awesome.
Basically, you know, drive like a moron.
I'd get a
plow. So that's one of the areas where the traffic comes in, because you've got cars cutting across four lanes of traffic and other people, you know, swearing at them. Well, that would be just me. Everyone is so polite here. Nobody honks their horn. It is the weirdest
thing.
That's
a southern thing.
It's like I go, we go
back. Deja vu.
We go up to Mass like twice a year, and it's like I hear, you know, the light turns green, and eight tenths of a second later, honk. I'm like, ah, I'm home. And
I heard Alan honk once.
Yeah, because a guy almost hit me.
Did he threaten to hit you on the freeway?
Yeah.
No, but he did say some choice words. But yeah, he honked at a guy who like, you know, well, in Houston, I don't know how it is in where you are, Jay, but like in Houston on the highway, it's like everybody merges really close together. And like, right, you know, so some dude will like just zoop right in front of you and right on your bumper. And you gotta you know, oh God, it's so stressful for me. Like, I spent a lot of the time in the truck with my eyes closed because I can't deal with it. Like, my anxiety levels were already, I kind of have like driving anxiety anyway.
You're driving PTSD.
A little bit. Yeah. Like after my car accident, and kind of like, I have anxiety a little bit anyway, just generally, but like after my car accident and all the shit that happened afterwards, it kind of like, you know, gave me a little bit of driving anxiety. I'm a lot better than I used to be. Trust me, I'm a lot better.
That's because you have a car the size of the USS Nimitz now.
Yes, that is one of the things I tell myself. I'm like, you know what? You're in this giant car. You're probably going to be okay if somebody hits you. But yeah, so like most of the time on the highway, like, you know, things are getting a little hectic on the highway in Houston. I just sit there with my eyes closed. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I just can't. Yeah, I can't. I'll be like having a nervous breakdown if I'm watching what's happening. And Alan's a great driver, but the one time I heard him honk, some guy, like, you know, tried to merge over like into the truck.
Oh yeah, and he was coming right.
I don't know if the truck could be any bigger or any redder, but you know, hello.
And then, red truck. And then as typical, I see the guy he's yelling at me.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, like it's my fault because I didn't get out of his way or something.
How dare you be where he wants to go?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe he's just offended that you honked, and how dare you honk in the South? I don't know.
Yeah. I that's in the South, that's when you can honk. You honk when somebody's about to run into you, and you're letting them, hey, dumbass, you're about to run into me. Other times, nobody honks. Like if somebody's sitting at the light, they were literally. I know how it is up north because I've been up north. I've spent a lot of time driving in northern cities, and it's like
we like the honking.
One 16th of a second after the light turns green, you better be moving, or they're going to be honking, and not just the one guy behind you. It'll be all eight people behind you. We'll start honking, you know, but in the South, I've seen people literally sit through a light change and nobody honks because the person is just like asleep. I don't know. You know, they just sit there for whatever they're doing. And
I give it three count.
And there's no, you know, there's like, and everybody's like, you see people look at each other like, is he asleep? What's going on? I don't know. Should we honk? I don't know. Maybe would, you know, it's just,
I'm in my car going, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000.
And that's how you can identify the Yankees in the South. They're the ones honking. Because Southerners will not honk at a light like that. They just won't.
But I'll go back to, I have a Toyota RAV4. My horn is like, meep, meep. Excuse me. Meep, meep. It is quite possibly the most pathetic horn I've ever heard.
You know, they make replacements for.
Yes, I know. I'm trying to decide what I want to get. I want something that's actually going to make people soil their pants. I want something so loud. I want them to think the rapture is upon them.
They sell horns like the diesel locomotives use.
Yes. You can put those on. I want like a horn as loud as a diesel locomotive, but the sound of a puking bird hitting a blackboard. It's an old Dilbert cartoon, a comic.
Oh, man.
They were trying to figure out. They're trying to figure out what sounds their program should use, and it should be sounds that people hate. You know, like fingernails on a chalkboard, or a bird hitting a window, or someone vomiting.
Oh boy!
So the sound for something really bad was a puking bird hitting a window.
Perfect.
That's what I want for my horn.
Yeah, except people would be sitting there going, "What the fuck is that sound?
What is that?
What is that?" They wouldn't realize it's a horn and they're getting honked at. They'd be like, "What?"
Because the light is green and I'm sitting here. Yeah. Hmm. Perhaps the two phenomena are connected.
Do you get the guys up there that like sit there and read the newspaper in traffic?
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's phone. It's all phone.
Really?
They're I see. One of my favorite stories.
Nobody reads the newspaper, Alan.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I'm on the highway in traffic, and you know, we're kind of like inching along, and I see, you know, next to me there is a small car, you know, Toyota Corolla or something, and the front end is caved in. The hood's buckled under, the bumper's pushed in, the grill's all smashed, lights are broken. And as I pull, you know, as they pull further up, there's the driver on her phone.
Ah.
She's holding it in one hand and she's punching the keys with the other and driving with apparently her knees, not paying the least bit of attention. I'm like, didn't you get, I'm just leaving. I'm out of here. Bye.
Yep. And
of course
those people all vote.
Well, yes, they do. Yeah. Oh goodness, yeah. Well, of course, you know, I also had my truck down here for about 2 years with rust on the rear quarter panel and a bumper that was developing holes, waiting for someone to hit me so they could rebuild it for me for free. Nothing. I have my brand new car. I had it for 6 months. Wham! $6,500 worth of damage. Thank you.
That's how it works. Nobody wants to run into the beater because they know they figure out he ain't got insurance. I'm gonna
run into this giant truck. They're like, if we hit that, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. I hate traffic almost as much as I hate fake science guys like Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Ooh.
Ah, you like that segue? Huh?
Good segue.
We were discussing potential. I'm sorry.
I know you hate Bill Nye the Science Guy. But honestly, I would be okay with him if he just stuck to doing the cool stuff on TV.
Absolutely. When he decided that he was the face of global warming, I'm sorry, climate change, because it's not warming.
Right.
and, you know, decided that I am the preeminent expert on, you know, climatology. Bill, you're a fucking mechanical engineer.
Right.
Is that what he was?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he was, which is legitimate science.
Right.
I sure. will never, mechanical engineers are smart ass people. They're not climate specialists.
Right. And there's no reason why anybody can't go and do science. I mean, science is not exclusive. It's a right. process. It's not a,
right.
you know, it's not like being a lawyer or a doctor or something like that. Anybody can do science. But yeah, if you, it's like the actors, it's the same thing. If they just stuck
right.
to acting
right.
and kept their mouth shut, except when they're repeating what lines other people wrote, it'd be fine.
Well, yeah. you know, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with actors and fake scientists having opinions about stuff. Because everybody is entitled to their opinion and everybody's entitled to vote on their opinion and, you know, et cetera. However, it's like the media gives them some sort of authority, you know, because who is the famous one with the autism and the, oh, Jesus Christ. Jenny McCarthy
with the
yeah
with the autism and the vaccines and the yeah and I mean this was Jenny McCarthy and I you know I may be dating myself but I just remember her as the titty girl on MTV.
Yes, she was in.
Am Playboy. I wrong? Like she was the Playboy Playmate titty girl on MTV on that show they had that like game showy thing on MTV. I don't know. I could be wrong. I you know. It was a long, long time ago. But, like, she was the TNA on TV. And all of a sudden, she has a kid with autism and reads a book. And then she's on
right.
Oprah saying that don't vaccinate your kids.
Right. It's
that font of scientific accuracy and wisdom, Oprah.
Yes.
Right. Well, there is also the Oprah problem with, like, Dr. Oz and then...
Dr. Phil,
you know,
and all the other...
Dr. Phil and... Yeah, but that is the problem with people like... I don't know. Has Bill Nye been on Oprah?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Probably.
Yeah. Almost certainly. And I think what bothers me most about Bill Nye is that he went from actually like making science kind of cool and, you know, getting kids interested in science
yeah.
to friggin' Al Gore Jr. You know, it was, oh, climate change is the number one, blah, 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 blah. And anyone who doesn't like it is a filthy denier. You know, if you don't agree with me, you're a poopy head. That's what is, you know, I'm Bill Nye, the science guy. And I'm the authority to which you appeal. Like, no, you're a fucking TV actor. Shut up. You want to show me how to build a bridge? I will listen to you because that is your area of expertise. Other than that, you know, I'm pretty sure I know more about, let's say, chemistry or perhaps ballistics. It doesn't make me an expert on climate change either. One of us has been promoted to an elevation, a position far above one's background and knowledge.
Given the results and the accuracy of the models, I would say no one is an expert on climate science.
Yeah, and the whole climate change thing just.
But the polar bears.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. That's exactly it. Thank you, Alan. There's no reason we shouldn't be looking at alternative energy. There's no reason we shouldn't be trying to conserve as much as we can. It makes sense. It's just smart.
Right.
But when you phrase it as, if you don't do this, the polar bears are all going to die next week, and right. New York will be under 18,000 feet of water by March. And you put out these absolutely erroneous bullshit proposals. They just completely just we're all going to die by next month if you don't go back to living in a cave.
Right. Well, and the average global temperature is... Sorry, Jay.
You know, just the United States, mind you. You know, China, India, oh, they continue to pollute all they want. Like, maybe you've got an agenda there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Even the worst case estimate is like 2 degrees of warming
over like a decade. I mean, it's not like every year,
but at the same time, if you're not looking, you know, if you're not massaging the temperature history to eliminate it, the medieval warm period was more than 2 degrees warmer.
Right.
So, and that was a wonderful time for human civilization.
I've always looked at it as there's four criteria. You know, one is that you got to convince me that it's changing beyond the normal fluctuations. Two, that it getting warmer is a bad thing.
Right.
Three, humanity is the majority reason it is changing. I mean, there's a fair amount of evidence that it's got more to do with, you know, solar activity, i.e. why we're seeing changes on Mars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, with the exception of the lunar rover, does not have a whole bunch of SUVs running around polluting things.
Global warming, man.
And four, can we do anything about it that doesn't require like a complete drastic reshaping of civilization?
But that's the whole point.
Man, that's the rub. But again, you take something that people could get behind. There's no reason not to look into solar energy and wind energy and all of these renewable resources. By the way, trees are renewable, which floors me. That, you know,
but that's deforestation. Not the point.
Blah, 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 but it's renewable. Anyway,
the point is world government and, you know, world socialist government.
Right.
And you know, put the technocrats in charge. That's the point. Everything else is just an excuse.
Right.
You know, if you were truly worried about carbon and CO2 in the atmosphere and fossil fuel use and stuff like that, you would be rolling out nuclear plants everywhere.
Bingo.
You'd be making basement nuke plants for every large building in the world. You'd be rolling out pebble bed reactors. You'd be doing all kinds of stuff because that's the one thing we have that's fairly unlimited and easy to do, you know, but no.
Yep. Yeah. I think Chernobyl ended that.
Yeah. But Chernobyl was bullshit.
Cause the Russians, big shock. The Russians don't give a rat's ass about worker safety.
Well, also, you got to remember, okay, so the reason we have problems with nuclear plants in the U.S. and Russia and everywhere else in the world is because the nuclear plants, the main job of the nuclear plants is not necessarily to make electricity. In a lot of cases, the electricity is just a byproduct of making the fuel for nuclear bombs. You can make very safe nuclear plants that do not explode, do not melt down, can operate with no moving parts and all that kind of stuff. The only problem is they don't make fuel for nuclear bombs.
Right.
And
right.
That's why we don't have those kind of nuke plants because they don't make fuel for nuclear bombs.
Right.
Given the choice, the government picked the kind that make the fuel for the nuclear bombs. You know, it's easy to, you could build a thorium reactor, you could build, there's all kinds of reactor designs that are completely safe. They just don't make, you know, can't make a bomb out of them. Whoops.
Yeah.
So.
And the reason we're speaking about Bill Nye.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the reason Bill Nye came up.
Yeah.
Because unless you've been living under a rock, you've heard that Stephen Hawking has passed on.
Soon to be Saint Hawking.
Patron
saint of
physicists. He died on Pi Day.
On Pi Day, yes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is sad. He's, you know, one of the and that was what brought the question up was he's kind of like the preeminent scientist, if you will. He was like, he thought like super smart sciencey guy. It was Stephen Hawking. Boom.
He's like the Albert Einstein. He's the Albert Einstein of our time.
Yes.
Is so, he, you know, though?
I think so.
Bantered back and forth. Oh, they both, okay. You know, crazy hair, funny accents, you know.
Well, I mean, you could argue, I mean, you know, I don't know, did Hawking, I mean, you know, he did a lot of work with, you know, black holes and physics and stuff like that. I mean, he, you know, I think if Einstein hadn't previously come up with a theory of relativity, Hawking probably would have done it. I think he was that smart.
Yeah.
So there's certainly no one else I would put in that thing. I mean, he had two things. He was really smart and really competent, and he had good PR.
Yeah.
And also apparently a notorious pervert.
Yes, he was kind of a pervert, as many smart men are. Yep.
Alan, can you confirm?
I can confirm.
But what I was gonna bring up that he was terrified about climate change.
Really?
Well, he can't swim, yes. So sea level rises. I'm sorry.
And he lives
awful.
In England.
It was awful. Yeah. I'm a horrible human being.
Well, I just, you know, if he's like the super smart guy and everybody's like poo-pooing climate change and like where.
Yes, but he's not a climate scientist. Again, it falls under the whole thing, you know, what's your expertise?
Right.
Yeah, but neither are you.
No. But.
But
I
Alan
am,
is not reported the name. Alan is not accorded the same respectability on the world stage,
right,
when he talks about climate change.
Right.
We okay. See, Alan and I can just pull shit out of our asses, and that's, you know, that's what Stephen Hawking was doing.
Right.
And that's what Bill Nye is doing.
Right. They're Stephen Hawking talks about black holes and quasars and physics shit like that, I'll listen to
right.
him. Right. When he talks right. about climate science, he's no different from me or Jay.
And he actually should know better, because when you're referencing studies that have not been peer reviewed, those are bad science.
Yeah. I think that falls under the whole, you know, doctor thing, you know, doctor syndrome. Where they think they're really smart. They are, in fact, actually really smart about one particular thing. And so a lot of them tend to think that makes them equally smart about other things that may not necessarily be so. If you've ever known a doctor that succumbed to doctor disease, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They think they're experts on everything.
Well, I think that's because a lot of people give into that. They're like, oh, he's smarter than me. Maybe he knows everything.
Right.
I'll just believe everything he says. Yeah. Yeah,
except they don't. And that's, it's not, I won't say it's common or even, but there are enough doctors out there that have this problem that everybody knows what I'm talking about. And so you doctor listeners of our show that are not like that, thank you. But, you know, it's easy. It's, you know, I mean, I have, to a certain extent, I have a similar problem. I mean, I'm really good at one particular thing, and I sometimes tend to drift off into, you know, well, you know, expounding on things that I maybe don't know so much about. You know, to the, you know, saying stuff like, well, you know, that's just stupid. They should blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and I literally don't know what I'm talking about.
We all smile and nod.
And sometimes I stop myself and I go, I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. And sometimes
I'm familiar
just keep
with that condition now, and it's called being male.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be.
We just assume we know everything, and we don't.
Yeah.
Right, Brita?
I'm staying out of it.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo.
I'm not mansplaining. I'm just explaining.
Oh, okay. You know what? That reminds me. We mentioned we were going to talk about that, and it's a good topic. You remember?
Mansplaining.
We mentioned that would be a good thing to bring up on the show if we ever hit a spot where we ran out of stuff.
Now, Brita, mansplaining is when.
Because I was accused of mansplaining at one point, and I said last week, well, I'm not actually mansplaining. I'm thinking out loud.
Oh yeah, which I can see that.
Which fooled no one ever, but that's okay.
Well, but yeah, but sometimes you just, you know, sometimes you do that when you're to a disinterested third party, it might appear to be mansplaining, but it's actually just, you know, a lot of times people are vocal, and when you're thinking something through in your head, sometimes saying it out loud is a benefit. And so it's not always mansplaining. Sometimes it's just thinking out loud.
It's different when Alan does it.
Usually I don't have problem with like mansplaining, because I always feel like I can learn something from someone, you know, if they are talking about something and, you know, explaining something to me, because I don't understand everything and I'm willing to learn stuff. But I think it's funny when someone explains something that I know about more than they know about. Like Alan will do that occasionally about, like, let's say art or something. And I'm, you know, and I just kind of, I will kind of be like, okay. Thank you for telling me stuff I already know. And I think you are right. I think a lot of it is like you're verbally processing what's going on in your head.
Yes, so maybe that's exactly what it is.
I don't know.
But you know, but yeah. Sometimes it is mansplaining. I think a lot of it is attitude. So if it's like, you know, if it's accompanied by the, you know, a certain amount of condescension and, you know, like,
well, like, little lady.
Yeah, exactly. Little lady, or you don't know what you're doing, or, you know, that sort of attitude, then it is definitely mansplaining. If it's more, you know, just thinking things through or something, then it's probably not. I never,
you know,
mansplain, by the way.
Okay. I probably mansplain. What would that be called? I breedisplain? I don't know.
Breedisplain, yes.
Yeah. I breedisplain. You know, we're coming up at the end of the hour, Alan. And I just wanted to give you this opportunity to talk about your barbecue experience this past week.
Oh.
Because it's important, you know, it barbecue.
Is this going to make us all jealous?
Yes.
Oh, hungry? Yeah.
Yeah, it'll make you. So there's this little barbecue place in Spring, Texas called.
In your town.
Right. Called the Corkscrew. And it's like 2 miles from my house. And now that I know it exists, I'm in big trouble.
He's obsessed.
But
that's like walking distance.
Yeah, it's in it is in the requisite shacky type building.
It's a nice restaurant. It's not a shack.
It's
pretty nice.
It's kind of shacky. It's a fancy shack. It's a fancy shack, but it's still a shack.
It is not
anywhere near the polished, you know, restaurant of the more hipstery barbecue places. It's not even a you know, it's definitely not up to like a Rudy's or a God, definitely not Dickie's. My God. But anyway, it's kind of shacky, and they got, metal roof on the outside porch, the nice wraparound porch. And it's all like unpainted wood, and there's signs everywhere. And the outside seating area is like long picnic tables, all long mismatched picnic tables with mismatched chairs. Underneath these giant carport type shed things.
They are carports, I think.
With a couple of giant cable spools thrown in the middle
for tables.
Like standing room.
Yeah.
But
you know what's funny? Yeah.
They open at 11 and they go until they're out.
Until they run out of food.
And the guy explained that they only make 2,000. The smoker only holds 2,000? Yeah, 2,000 pounds of meat, and that's all it holds. And they start it up and they make the meat and that's it. That's all they make. They're not going to do more batches or anything like that. And it's mostly like a quality control thing. So it is, I would say this brisket is probably, no, it definitely is the best brisket I ever had.
Wow.
It was that good. It was delicious. It was no sauce, good bark, melt in your mouth.
Yeah, it was. It was melt in your mouth for sure.
You didn't need a fork. You didn't even knife. You didn't need a knife to cut it. It was just delicious. And yeah, it was good. Made Brita cry.
You did. I get all like verklempt.
That's the new standard for barbecue. Did it make Brita cry? If it did, then it's good. If not, nope. So far that's happened at exactly three places.
That rib last year.
Yeah, the rib at Black's.
Black's Barbecue.
Yeah.
The Corkscrew. And then my first ever brisket, I got a little weepy because it was, you know, my first time. I was a brisket virgin. But like, I'm becoming a connoisseur of brisket. Like I've had, you know.
You've had it from several places.
I have. And I know what I like. And yeah. Corkscrew is really good. You have to get the fatty meat. Get the moist. Do not get the lean. Get the moist. And I know people are like weird and squeaky about fat. From my personal experience, when I was a kid, I wouldn't eat bacon because I was squicked out by the fat. And then I moved up to like peeling the meat part of the bacon off the fat part of the bacon, and then I eat just the meat part. And of course, then there's like that whole thing about, oh, no, you can't eat fat. You'll get fat. And then the cholesterol issue and, you know, this whole thing with animal fat. People don't want to eat it. But if you just eat it once in a while, the fat is where the flavor is, right? So think of a chicken thigh versus a chicken breast. Chicken thighs have more flavor and have better like mouthfeel kind of thing. And that's because of fat. So are given the option, get the moist brisket. Do not get the lean brisket. I mean, lean brisket probably good for like sandwiches, the sauce and stuff.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. Yep. If you're going to make a barbecue, if you're going to make a brisket sandwich, probably want to use the lean with the sauce.
Right. But if you're just going to eat it. Nope. Yeah. No. Just.
There's room for both in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to make a brisket. So in the brisket, you're going to have some lean and you're going to have some moist. It's just that you get both with the brisket. That's how it is. So.
The floor wax. It's a dessert topping.
Yeah.
No, it's when you were describing the shack like building, you know what it reminded me of? Basically every clam shack I'd ever been to in New England.
Oh yeah, I bet.
So it's just very interesting to see that concept is probably universal.
Well, it's where they care about the food more than the surrounding.
Exactly.
They spend their money on the meat
tables. Yep. Yep. All right. And a lot of these places, you know, you get a good clam shack and it's like there is a truck that comes from the damn ocean that morning. Mm. And whatever your seafood is, like it was alive less than 24 hours ago. And now it's becoming dinner.
Yum.
And you get like fried clams or, you know, when it's in season, you get lobster, you get, you know, cod, you get fish and chips, and it's just really, really freaking good. But you're not, you know, this is not a you know, what the hell is the you know, it's not a 3-star. What the hell is the rating system for restaurants? I can't think for life. You think of it. No, it starts with an M. Michelin. Thank you. I got stuck on Michigan, and I'm like, it's not Michigan. It's like Michelin. Yeah. You know, it's, you're not going to find it in a Michelin guide, but.
Of course not.
You stop and you find one. And there's a couple of places here that I'm trying to get brave enough to try. There's a couple of crab shacks, which because we're so close to Maryland, I'm figuring they're probably pretty good, except I really don't care for crab. And there's also a couple little hole-in-the-wall Mexican places. And those are either super awesome or chain yourself to the toilet for the next 3 days.
Oh, dear.
Regret it. You know, it's just we, you know, you find a good hole-in-the-wall Mexican place, you know, it's worth its weight in gold. The other...
Well, you kind of have to judge it by the crowd. You know, if it's lunchtime on a weekday and it's packed, it's probably a good place.
Yep.
If it's lunchtime on a weekday and there's two people there, turn around and leave.
Yep. Yep. We actually found a nice little Italian restaurant not too far away, which was very interesting. It's really not, this is not the area of my people. And finding a nice Italian restaurant was a treat. We also found a nice Indian place. Unfortunately, I have to wait for my wife and daughter to be away because they're not fans of Indian at all. My son is not.
Oh, man, I love Indian.
So, yeah, whenever, like, they're going this weekend, they're going for a Girl Scout retreat. And my son and I are like, oh, boy, we're getting Indian. It's just like, yeah, the girls are gone. The boys are going out for Indian. That's how we party.
Nice.
We're going out for Indian and we're buying a new weight bench. Woohoo!
Hey.
Oh, boy.
Party time.
Yeah, the fun just never ends. So, and speaking of weights.
It's time.
It's time to go down into the weight room.
Let's mention our guest next week.
Well, yes. Matthew Allen, who is kind of a secret squirrel.
I know that guy.
Yeah, he's a secret squirrel for a living. He's going to call in on Skype. Hopefully, I'm going to harass him for the next week and remind him.
I'll harass him too.
Okay, good.
We can harass.
Yeah, and he'll be on the show. And he's a pretty entertaining guy, and he likes to talk, so it'll be cool. And
he's a good guy.
Yeah,
I had the immense pleasure of meeting him for the first time in St. Louis. Oh my God, 6 years ago now.
I know.
And who else was there? I know Matt St. Jack was there, which was pretty damn awesome. Matthew Allen and Matt St. Jack in the same room. and a whole bunch of other people who I am forgetting, and I apologize to everyone, but my brain is mush right now. So, and right. I have to go lift heavy objects.
And we'll be back next week.
Okay. Have fun, Jay.
All right. Talk thank you. Same Good squirrel night. Time, same squirrel channel.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.